So, Leroy, start in on Matthew 10, verses 1 and 2.
1 and 2.
Yeah, don't read the names of the disciples. We don't want to get bored on that.
He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out the evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him.
Okay. Now, Matthew 10. One of the nice things about doing the chronological life of Christ is that we see everything in perspective as it happens. In the past few weeks that we've been studying Christ's life, we've actually seen him basically only preach one time, and that was on the Sermon on the Mount. And what he did there was turn upside down everything that the Jews believed in. Outside of that, we've seen him talk to people, heal people, drive out people from the temple. We've seen him heal, cast out demons, calm the sea, perform miracles. And now he calls the disciples together, and he's going to send them out to begin their witnessing. Now, I want you to think back, for a lot of you, since outside of the two young expecting parents, rest of us are up in age, to think back when we were young and in a church, kind of what a concept of witnessing was that we were brought up in. And then I want to compare that with what Christ is doing. And then I think if we have time, we'll compare that to what a church is doing today. So we're looking for techniques and principles of witnessing. Leroy, continue.
Witness when I was a kid?
Yeah, we're going to read and we'll come back to it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. These 12, Jesus sent out with the following instructions.
All right, now here comes the instructions. This is witnessing 101.
Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans.
All right. Well, this seems kind of bigotry. Hello, now I want you all to go witness. But first of all, don't go to the Samaritans and don't go to the Gentiles. Why?
Because it would just bring more animosity. It would create strife rather than give peace and harmony and love.
Okay, that's one of the. It's kind of like a puzzle. We're looking for all the pieces. That's certainly a big piece of the puzzle. What else?
They weren't prepared to go to those two.
Okay. They themselves. They themselves were not prepared. Do you think that their heart was just full of love for Samaritans and Gentiles? Absolutely not. That's two pieces of the puzzle. What's another piece of it? Yeah. Samaritans didn't want to see them, most likely, any more than they wanted to see the Samaritans. What else?
The Jews were supposed to have first crack at the gospel.
Absolutely. If they went to the Gentiles, they went to the Samaritans, what in the world would the Jewish leaders say? So you have three components. They themselves were not ready. They were inexperienced. Number two, the people that they would have gone to were not ready for them. And the big one was, is that they would have been highly criticized from the Jewish leaders themselves, that here they are out there talking to these infidels, these unchristian people. What a way to begin a witnessing school, by the way. Keep going.
Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel.
Okay, now who are those people?
Everyone.
Everybody.
Yeah. But who specifically?
Believers. Yeah. The church members.
The Jews themselves. After all, what were the Jews? They were the chosen ones. They were the ones that were going to be saved. They were the ones that had only the truth, the light. And so Jesus says, go to the lost sheep of Israel, which is the Jews themselves. Continue.
As you go, preach this message.
All right, now here comes the part I like. I'm going to give you a preview. I know one of the four has to be the 2300 days. It has to be. Just has to be. All right, Leroy, don't let me down.
Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near.
Okay. What does that mean?
What you've been waiting for is happening. God is here. They've been looking for the sign.
Okay.
That same idea, eternal life starts right now.
Okay.
The peace and look forward to having in heaven can be ours.
Okay. Who else preached this message?
John the Baptist.
Now, here's a question that I think has some merit. Why wasn't Jesus a little bit more specific in this message and say, not only is the kingdom at hand, the Messiah is here?
Doesn't teach that way. He teaches us in a way that you have to discover for yourself.
Okay. What other reasons?
Because I think that would have incited more riot and controversy. And I don't think that was the purpose of it. I think it was the purpose of it. We just inflamed the situation.
Okay.
Jesus was not the Messiah for which they were looking.
Okay. Okay.
Well, just making the statement, the Messiah is here, is not the same as revealing to their heart.
Okay. Was this message any different than what they've heard? Well, if John the Baptist said it, then it certainly wasn't any difference in what this message was.
Same message.
Common ground. So their entering message was the same one that they've heard, looked for. The kingdom of God is at hand. Nothing new here. Nothing revealing here. Nothing upsetting here. Same message. Okay, keep going. Now we get to the four things.
Heal the sick.
All right. Heal the sick, number one.
Raise the dead,
number two.
Cleanse those who have leprosy.
Number three. Now the fourth one's got to be.
And drive out the demons.
Okay. Where's the preaching? Where's the preaching? Where's the correcting? Where's the pointing out the differences? Where is there showing what we have that you don't have?
But he each one of those have a physical as well as a spiritual meaning.
Absolutely. We're going to come to that in a second. But where is the let's throw up a tent, let's rent a building? I was just talking to somebody from the Richardson Church that was telling me of a pastor here a while back that had evangelistic service in Plano that spent $200,000 on having evangelistic. Where is this? Why aren't they in the synagogues preaching? Why aren't they throwing out a big tent and preaching? So let's go over, and Leroy's made an excellent point. Physical as well as spiritual. So go back through the four. What's the first one?
Preach the good message. Heal the sick.
All right. What do we get that from? Physical and mental and spiritual. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Spiritually sick people.
Certainly.
And a lot of the sickness was the result of their... I mean, to me, your belief in God sometimes reflects a lot of your view of life in a way.
Absolutely.
And so I think, you know, when they have that fearful orientation, they're living a life of fear, which just creates illness and distress in the body.
Mm-hmm. Can we heal the sick today? Physically?
Benny Hinn's got a corner on that market.
Pardon?
Benny Hinn's got a corner on that market.
Yeah, we're going to get to Benny Hinn just a little bit later down the road on these verses. Yeah, we certainly can bring healing to them physically, because we have a message of health and things and helpful that we could help them. But which is more important, to bring healing physically or to bring healing spiritually? Absolutely spiritually.
You know, I've had, I think, so much opportunity to minister in that way. And you know, there are many, many times that I really do believe healing in some fashion took place. Sometimes it's just a window where you reframed something. Mm-hmm. You know, an acceptance and things like that. But, yeah, I think we do, each of us, have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. We speak to someone.
So when we see a person that's sick, what should be the first thing that comes across our mind to do?
How to make them feel better.
I think showing the concern and compassion, and that we're interested in them, that we're concerned about what's going on with them. I mean, even when I go see foster parents, this one foster mom was sick, you know, and she apologized for her house. I said, you know, that's not important. When you're sick, the kids are clothed, they're fed, and that's what's important. And I said, I hope you get feeling better. And I meant that very genuinely. Mm-hmm. I felt really compassionate when I said that. Just, I hope you get feeling better. It's so fun to try to take care of kids, especially some challenging foster kids when you're sick.
So is it wrong to say, I'm sorry that you're sick, but here's a Bible enrollment card, and since you have nothing to do, send it in?
I think it's very wrong.
Well, remember, I said start thinking back what witnessing was as you grew up. All right, heal the sick. Spiritually heal the people. All right, next one.
Raise the dead.
What does that mean? I don't know of anybody that's raised the dead.
If you think of it in a physical sense, but if you think of it in a religious sense, it's...
lots of people out there that are dead in the life of sin. And what's sad is most of them don't even know it. They think everything's fine. They think they're living a good life. And they're dead in the life they're in. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to come along and meet them where they're at and show them a better way. The question is, how do we show them a better way? Number one, do we need to point out where they're at? Let's see. Okay. What's the third one?
They can drive out, cleanse those who have leprosy.
Okay. What was leprosy a sign of in the Jewish mind?
Sin.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were a leper, what were you? You was unclean, removed from God. And so we have an opportunity to tell, and again, I think this is what Rob and my ministry have the privilege of doing, is tell them, I think, the most important message that God cares and God loves and He is there to provide comfort. And so we have the opportunity to cleanse the people from their sins, to let them know that they are not an outsider. They're not out and unloved. That God cares and loves.
And the message of acceptance is the biggest.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You know, to me, one of the most potent witness I have of healing the sick is John Brennan. And he died, but he always accepted what ailment was his and had such a positive attitude of, if this is God's will, and I'll feel better tomorrow or whatever. And I thought of that.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is to talk to his grandkids, especially those three boys, and you talk to them separately, which I had the privilege over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks. And they all in that conversation will say, Granddad just accepted and took care, and you know, all of them the same thing. He just accepted me, he worked with me, and you know, he never, and I'm just thinking, what a positive, you know, that because all three of them, that's what they appeal to him, is that he was accepting. And so this is exactly what this text is saying. To the lepers, they were not accepted by anybody. And yet it was Christ that went to them and touched them. Some of the lepers had never been touched for years, and he touched them. And here we have the opportunity as witnesses to go out and let people know that God cares. What's the fourth one?
Drive out the demons.
Okay. How do you relate to that one? How can we drive out people's demons?
Just drive out our own.
I think you stimulate to understand the truth. What's the truth about God? What's the truth about God does love him? God, that creates all kinds of erroneous ideas.
Demons, we think of demons, we think of darkness. And along comes Christ that shows light. And along as we come and reflect that life in their lives, and it does give them hope. It does drive out those demons. There's only two masters in this world. I think a lot of times we think that the majority of people we know are just kind of like on a fence. But there's only two masters. As the great Bob Dylan says, you've got to serve somebody. And so that's exactly the way it works. So if you're not with God, you're not. The answer is obviously where you're at. So we have the chance to come and drive out darkness in their lives. I think this with the disciples, it's interesting, we don't have really any record of what they've done in the Bible. Later on we have Peter who did some things, and we have Paul who brought some people back to life. But in this particular case, we don't really have a record in the Bible of what these guys did. Why not doctrine?
All doctrine is man-made.
Well, Jesus is instructing. I agree mostly. Jesus is instructing them all. Why didn't he say, now look, I am the Messiah. I am the one that has the answers. So why don't you go out and tell people the kingdom of God is at hand and this is the Messiah? And you should accept him. Why not?
They did after the resurrection.
But they themselves?
This was the
weren't
Messiah.
Really aware that he was the Messiah.
Okay.
And any belief you come to, any decision you come to on your own, whether belief or decision, is more powerful than when somebody tells you.
Okay.
So if you relate to them and they sense love, they sense hope, they sense light, and they then pursue, then it's a much more powerful thing than somebody tells you.
Okay. What else? How solid of quote Christians were these guys at this time?
They're the ones that ran from when the demoniacs came out.
Yeah.
You know, the Jews.
Huh?
They were educated in the Jewish belief.
Yeah, but how good of Christians were they, guys? If we were going to scrutinize their Christianity
on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, at this time. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, their biggest asset was they followed Jesus.
That's right.
And they responded when he invited them.
That's exactly right. So they had no picture of what was going on.
They had openness.
Except they had the biggest picture. That's what's interesting, in my opinion. They had no idea what's going on, except they had the biggest picture of how to witness. Was they saw what Jesus did. He went out among the people and met their needs. And that's exactly what he's doing with these 12 apostles. Sending them out and saying, go out and meet people's needs. If you see that they're sick, heal them. If you see they're demons, get rid of them. And he went on to meet their needs. Is there any lesson? Well, let's look at it a different way. When you were growing up, what was witnessing to you all? Maybe I just grew up in a crazy church. I don't know.
We'd stand on the street corner and sing old-time hymns.
Okay. What else was witnessing? Remember, we grew up missionary volunteer. They used to say, how many people did you witness to this week? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Indian food baskets away.
Yeah. We used to count them, see? So, how many people did you witness? Well, what was witnessing?
Giving them
Let's take you, then I'll come to Peggy. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Inviting people to come to church or inviting people to vespers or series or something.
Okay. Peggy?
Giving them literature.
That's right. I remember, you know, you ought to carry literature. I felt guilty when I flew on a plane. Would have really felt guilty flying on a train. Felt guilty flying on a plane, you know, because I didn't have, you know, 30 bundles of literature to give out. What a wonderful opportunity to get things done here, and all he does is tell them, go out, meet the people where they are, and take care of whatever needs they have. Keep going.
Freely you have received, freely give.
Okay. Okay.
Not take along any gold or silver.
Copper. This is where we get Benny Hinn. I'll say this is where we get Billy Hinn.
Yeah, okay. Do not take along
and his brother Benny. Both Hinns. They're confusing me, Leroy.
And we can't hear you.
I missed it.
They're confusing me. Go ahead, read a little bit louder. Peggy's having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay. Read over?
Yeah, I'll start over. Freely give.
Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belt. Take no bag for the journey, no extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep.
Okay. Keep going. We might come back to that if we have time.
Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his home until you leave.
Okay.
As you enter the house, give him your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town.
Okay, let's stop there. As a sales trainer, and we train people to go door to door, this is one of the greatest passages that I use all the time in sales training. If the person is not interested, what are you supposed to do? What a lesson. What a lesson. It's a principle of life. In selling security systems, product I work with, person's not interested, it's only 17 seconds to the next door. In Christian witnessing, it's the same principle. If a person's not interested, what do you do? Move on. And boy, sometimes we just love to argue. We love to debate. We love to show where they're wrong. And that is not biblical. So what have we learned about witnessing so far? Number one, where does theology fit into this? Where does doctrine fit into this? Where do church principles fit into this? Where does Sue fit into this? What's the answer?
Only as people pursue it on their own interest.
Pardon?
Maybe only as people pursue it on their own interest after you've made an introduction and then they, you know, want to learn more and want to find out more for themselves, then it maybe fits in.
Okay. I want you to listen to this question very, very closely. Every person that Christ came into contact with, do you think his motive was to convert them? That's two people.
I think it's an underlying motive.
I think he
I'm a third person.
To have them become his friend.
Okay, that's trying to walk the fence.
That's safe.
Can't shoot that one.
That's like going down the grocery store aisle with nothing in your basket. Nobody can criticize you.
Give me a definition of convert.
Yeah.
What do you say convert? Did he want to convert him? I think he wanted to reveal his love and his father's love and for them to have that opportunity to respond. Now, if that's converting, then I'll accept that. But
okay.
To me, my converting is trying to get them to think about something the way I believe or something. Yeah. That's a doctrinal thing.
Okay.
I'll tag along with Roger.
Okay. What's our witnessing?
Should it be the same?
Yes, if it isn't the same, it's not legitimate.
Okay. So what should be the motivation as a church to the community? Okay. In this discussion here, that was not part of the instructions.
Given to the disciples.
Mm-hmm. We just read it. I didn't see in there tell them I love them.
Not to tell them to be love.
It's the act of freeing the people from disease, death, and leprosy is an act of love.
Okay. Is there a difference then in the act and telling them?
Well, they don't hear what we say. They only experience what we do.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what the point that Christ is getting across, and that was the point of His ministry. He did not go out to make church members. He went out and He was touched with compassion. There was 10 little lepers that all came along and He healed all 10 of them. And they all ran off. And one of them said, guess it would be nice if I just went back and thanked Him. Do you think He loved the other 9 any less? Do you think He said, well, if I had it to do all over again, I would have healed one of them? Do you think He turned to the disciples and said, you know, I guess 1 out of 10 ain't bad?
Several times He healed people and told them not to tell.
Yeah. It was the individual He cared about.
It reminds me that every time I'm talking to my brother-in-law that was up there at a Michigan, if anything comes up regarding my brother, who's a doctor in Memphis, he always said, we've got to get him back in the church. We've got to let him do it. I'll send him this or that so he can get back into the church.
Now, I don't know the answer to this question because I'm not a missionary, and unless God just moves me to be one. And I don't think He will because He knows me. See? What's the motivation to be a missionary? Is it to make people Seventh-day Adventists? Church of Christ missionaries to make them Church of Christ? Baptist missionaries to make them Baptist? Catholic missionaries to make them Catholic?
Well, I don't know about, I mean, you know, that may be something. I do know that my niece that's over in Africa, her husband's in Accra, which is at disaster, and I think that makes more sense than, I don't know, than going and trying to do it and baptize.
Charles had a program here a while back on Katrina. Was it Katrina? 4 years ago? That's the last time I've done any humanitarian work. We all went down and to Keene and we did something. What did we do? We stuffed bags and put all this stuff together and I tried to supervise. That's why I don't. Yeah. Now, did we do this because we wanted to, I wanted to stick a little pamphlet into each little blanket saying why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist? Or did we do this because we felt sorry for the people?
You did this because they had a need of whatever you were doing.
So God's love is revealed in it.
Yeah. Never even give it a thought about if they become a Christian or Adventist. Just felt sorry for them, wanted to do something. So, what is, now I'm talking about church, not Arlington, church in general, what's our witnessing program today? That's a fair question. I only ask fair questions.
For the most part, it's bring up the numbers of members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide. That is basically the same thing as the Baptist and everybody else.
Yeah.
There are some wonderful exceptions.
Yeah, they're not trying to be critical of any church. I think you could be critical of the church as a whole, not just ours, but any denominations, is that over the past 20 years, it's all become in growth. How big can we get? How good of productions can we have? And people are centered on coming to us. Jesus didn't wait for people to come to Him. And when He instructed these 12 disciples, can you imagine how scared they were? When He instructed the 12 disciples, He didn't tell them to go throw up a tent, get in a synagogue, rent one. Told them to go out among the people. Now the pendulum has begun to swing to a lot of churches as they're looking to church growth. And the pendulums come back, believe it or not, to what they call house churches. And some of these mega churches now are beginning to understand that instead of trying to have everybody be centered around them, they're setting house churches where people will work the neighborhood and will come in and talk and do the things that they want. And they're finding that the church growth is being tremendous that way. So the pendulum has swung back. So you're going out into the community. Charles.
I've been reading Acts for the last couple of weeks. And Paul, just about every place where he first arrived, he would go to the synagogues. And he would basically debate the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the different seeds that he could find.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's somewhat different from what we're studying.
Keep reading. Because he comes to the conclusion, none of this was any good, and I now will preach Jesus Christ crucified, and that only. So that's exactly right. It didn't work.
That's why I always like to read or hear anything about Billy Graham, because he's had the most consistent message for as long as years ago went to Shea Stadium in New York to hear him. And the beauty of the consistency and then the life experience to me just speaks volumes.
Absolutely.
His life.
Absolutely. But yet we would say, and my blessed dad was one of them, well, he doesn't know the truth. See? And I've come to a conclusion. Truth about what? See, in our Sabbath school lesson, 1 John, we're taught over and over the only truth that matters is about God. And I've come to that conclusion. The only truth that matters is about God. It's never about a day or a feast or non-feast. It's about God. And so I think there's a tremendous lesson for the church, for a group, a denomination, or the churches worldwide. Best thing in a community is go meet people's needs. and then they will ask. What is it about you that makes things different? And then you have a chance to say, well, let me tell you about a person that I met that changed my life, and he can change yours. Outside of that, what message do we have? Any comments, questions, observations? Father in heaven, help us to be representative of you. Help us as we go among people that they see there is something different in our life. It's not our dress, it's not our look, but it's that peace that we get from knowing you. Help us to be alert to people's needs and be there and genuinely show them that we care. Help us to understand that you sent these 12 men out two by two simply to tell them there was someone who cared. They didn't do it with words, but they did it with actions. And I'm sure when they met somebody that was sick, they met their need. When they saw someone crying, they gave them a hug. And when they saw somebody in spiritual death, they brought them the good words of how much they were loved. Help us to do that. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.